Today, we'd like to see the title of a priest's duties in the book of Leviticus, chapter 21, verses 1 to 24, to online with the people through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth. We'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, "And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people." Explain the priest's duties in the Old Testament time compared to the priests in the New Testament time. Question 2, in verse 7, "They shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God." What does it mean? And how about interracial marriage in the Old Testament time? Why did God command them in the Old Testament time? And how can we apply this to us in the New Testament time? Question 3, in verse 10, "He who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor tear his clothes." Why did they tear or rend the clothes, and how can we apply it to our life in the New Testament time? In the book of Leviticus, there is a lot of ordinances and laws. In our New Testament time, it is interesting to observe how God related to man in the Old Testament times. So we will see chapter 21 today. Verse 1, "And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron." In the Old Testament time, the priests were only descendants of Aaron in the Levites. Aaron, the high priest among the priests. In the Day of Atonement per year, he, as the representative of people, was able to enter into the most holy place and to offer sacrifice to God on the mercy seat behind the veil. Then he went through the veil, the holy place or sanctuary and the front door, and he, as the representative of God, stood before the people on the court and spoke. That is, the high priest was the mediator between God and people. The other priests, then the high priest, were serving in the holy place or sanctuary. The other Levites, then the priests, were serving in other area than the holy places in the tabernacle. See in detail the book of Numbers, chapter 3. Numbers, chapter 3, verse 10. "So you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Then Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7, "But into the second part, the most holy place," in King James Version, New King James Version, NIV, NLT, "or the Holy of Holies," in Living Bible, "the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Exodus chapter 30, verse 10, and Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generation. It is most holy to the Lord. In the New Testament time, the veil was torn by Jesus' death on the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us, or he sanctified for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh. Jesus alone is the high priest and the mediator in the New Testament time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Where the forerunner had entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, Abraham, and worshipped, keep a tie to Melchizedek in the Old Testament time, book of Genesis. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So every Christian is a priest to enter sanctuary to come to omnipresent God. Now, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you, every Christian, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, or he who enters into the sanctuary. Sanctuary is the place of the Lord's presence, the safe places. So must believe that he is God's presence, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So diligent you seek, answer, so God will answer to you, yes, no, or waiting. So three ways, usually God will answer. So every Christian may come to God through Jesus, in Jesus' name. Name here then, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people. Dead means don't touch a dead body. In the Old Testament time, people were seeking righteousness for holiness through human works consistent with human heart. While in the New Testament time, upon faith, the Spirit of Christ is seeking the righteousness for holiness through every believer. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as it is written. So New Testament time, faith is essential. The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, or the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Law reveal what it is a sin, not given to you righteousness. Romans chapter 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not, absolutely not. On the contrary, we establish the law. How come? Through faith. So the Holy Spirit working through every Christian accomplish or establish, conform the law. Now verse 2, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother, also his virgin sister, who is near to him, who has had no husband, for her he may defile himself. So except his family members. So his single virgin sister, he may touch a dead body of the family members, being subject to purification rites. Numbers chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the third day and on the seventh day. Then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. The person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean, because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. So here, priest family members such as mother, father, son, daughter, so unmarried single sister, so dead body, you may touch them, but subject to purification rites. Then verse 4, otherwise he shall not defile himself. Every priest shall not touch other dead body than the direct family members' dead bodies. Because being a chief man among his people, being a leader or a ruler among his people. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Holy Spirit give gifts to the leader or a ruler. He who exalts in exhortation, he will give with liberality. He who leads, New King James Version, he will lead. King James Version, he who rules with simplicity. So with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Then, to prepare himself, then verse 5. They shall not make any bold place on their heads. So the priest not allow shave their heads, seeking righteousness for holiness through outworks consistent with inward hearts. Nor shall they shave the edges of their beards, nor make any cuttings. Don't cut the beards for the holiness as God commanded in verse 6. For example, to save or not depends upon God, that is, in his time and his way. Nazarite, this case is a cut off here, but the other case, don't cut. Numbers chapter 6, verse 18. Then the Nazarite shall shave his consecrated head at the door of the tabernacles of a meeting, and shall take the hair from his consecrated head. So in certain time, God, you know, commanded Nazareth. Nazareth is set apart from the world to be dedicated to God. So that is cut their hair, then the hair taker, the giving it on fire, put it on the fire, which is under sacrifice of the peace offering. But another case, don't cut, Judges chapter 16, verse 17. Yet he told her as his heart, Samson's mother, and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb." And this is Samson said, "If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." So therefore, depend upon, you know, God's saying, God's time, God's way. The only purpose is for the righteousness, for the holiness. Then verse 6, "They shall be holy to their God for holiness, because God is holy." Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" But simple humans failed to keep law unless the Spirit of God works through us. Romans chapter 7, verse 12, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." Because the law is the word of God. Because God is holy, just, therefore, the word of God, you know, the law is holy, just. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." Because the flesh work, so no good, nothing good. So therefore, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, or in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." How? "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to Spirit." So simply meaning the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Let you control, let the Holy Spirit control yourself. That moment the Spirit of Christ is working through you. In that way, the Spirit can conform, establish the Lord. Here, "not profane the name of their God, not make the name of God unholy, for they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God, because the duties of a priest to offer sacrifice to God. Therefore, they shall be holy in their perfect works, consistent with their heart, they shall be holy." Now, verse 7, "They shall not take a wife who is a harlot, or a whore, or a prostitute, or a defiled woman." Defiled woman, such as Gentile woman. Because verse 14 said, "Is he shall take a virgin of his own people as a wife." So therefore, in the Old Testament time, is a Gentile, is a person considered a defiled woman. How come? 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 2. "From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them.'" Gentiles, nor they with you. Surely, why here? They will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to this in love. Also, Nehemiah chapter 13, 28, 31 is a priest intermarried case here. And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat, the Horonite, the Gentile. Therefore, I drove him from me. Remember them. This case is a high priest, son-in-law is a Gentile. So which meaning is his daughter intermarried with the Gentile. So remember them, oh my God, because they have defiled the priesthood. So, and the covenant of the priesthood and the Levites. Thus I cleansed them of everything pagan. I also assigned duties to the priest and the Levites, each to his service, and to bringing the wood offering and the first fruits at the appointed times. Remember me, oh my God, for good. So, because here we can see, because of their hearts turned away from God, that's why God prohibited the Hebrew people, especially priests, not to intermarry with the pagan, you know, the wife and that. But New Testament applied into Christian shouldn't marry with the non-Christian. A woman divorced. Here, how come is a divorced woman hated by God? Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one garment with violence. The Lord hated domestic violence too. Says the Lord of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. Also, Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 31, 32, furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason, only one except sexual immorality, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery too. So the reason here, verse 7, last part, for the priest is holy to his God. So holiness reason. Verse 8, therefore you shall consecrate him or sanctify him, make him holy, for he offers the bread of your God, he shall be holy to you. For I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. Simply, God is holy, so you shall be holy as well. The daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, in other words, the daughter of a priest become a prostitute, she profanes her father, she shall be burned with fire. So subject to fire burning penalty. Verse 10, he who is the high priest among his brethren on whose head the anointing oil, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, that's usually olive oil, was poured, and who is consecrated, also made holy, to wear the garments. Garment is holy, you know, cleans rites. Here, to wear the garment, shall not uncover his head, or shall cover your head, nor tear or rend his clothes. Nor rend his clothes a Hebrew rite for grief, sorrow or a contrite heart. For example, Joshua was defeated at Ai for Achan's sin, Joshua chapter 7, verse 6. Then Joshua rent his clothes or tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord. Until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. So express their contrite heart. Also, another example, Haman's plot to kill all the Jews. Here, Mordecai, Esther, chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he rent or tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. So here, outward conduct for the holiness into heart. So because the priest was consecrated with the anointing oil, so therefore don't tear his clothes. But also, God said in Joel chapter 2, verse 13, rend your heart, or tear your heart, and not your garments, return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents or mitigates from doing harm. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So in the Old Testament time, even if God asked outward work, so always God wants the Israel people should be consistent with their heart to be holy. But unfortunately, human being, all sinner, all fall short of God. So by own flesh, own work, it doesn't work. So, but in New Testament time, by only faith rooted from Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of Christ is working through you, establishing the law, the performing the law in that way. Verse 11, nor shall go near any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or his mother. Don't touch your family member if possible. So we already covered C verses 2 and 3. But if you touch your family member, so then you are subject to cleansing rites according to God's commandments. Nor shall he go out over the sanctuary, because sanctuary is a holy place, nor profane the sanctuary over his God. So after touching a dead body, don't enter the sanctuary of the holy place. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him, I am the Lord. Verse 13, and he shall take a wife in her virginity, because God wants you holy. A widow or a divorced woman or a defiled or profound woman or a hollow, profound woman such as a pagan, you know, woman. These he shall not marry, but he shall take a virgin of his own people as a wife, not Gentile. Verse 15, nor shall he profane his posterity or seed, his child among his people, for which meaning you can give your son, you know, to pagan wife, your son to marry pagan wife, or you can allow your daughter to marry pagan husbands, you know, like that. So for I, the Lord, sanctify him. Verse 16, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 17, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generation who has any defect or blemish. This is in this context, in syntax, meaning any physical defect, any outward defect, any handicapped person. For any man may approach to offer to bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach, such as a man blind or lame, crippled, who has a marred face, wounded face, or any limb too long, abnormally long arms or legs. Verse 19, a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand. Verse 20, or is a hunchback or a crooked back, or a dwarf, pygmy, or abnormally little man. A man who has a defect in his eye, or one side blind, or eczema, scurvy, skin trouble, or scab bath, sores, or is a eunuch, born castrated man, his stones broken. Verse 21, no man of the descendants of Aaron the priest who had a defect, physical defect, shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He had a defect. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. Even a son of Aaron who has a physical defect is not qualified to be a priest and server, but server in other areas in the tabernacle, like other Levites, such as carry wood, you know, tabernacle walls and kind of thing, other area, not in holy places, sanctuary areas at all. Then 22, he may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy. So, but the handicapped, the son of Aaron, may eat the bread or fruit, leftover sacrifices in both the holy place or sanctuary and the most holy place of the tabernacle. Here is what we see, you know, God's gracious. Verse 23, only he shall not go near or go in the veil. Veil is between the most holy place and the sanctuary. So is in the veil only allow, you know, high priest once per year, but the other holy place or sanctuary, only priests can serve there. Because he has a defect, only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar, because he has a physical defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries. For I, the Lord, sanctify. Sanctuary is plural because the veil, front side called is a holy place, but beyond the veil called the most holy place, or another Bible version, Living Bible said, the holy of holies there. Verse 24, Moses told it to Aaron, the high priest, and his sons, priests, to all the children of Israel, other Levites, and all tribes of Israel. Okay, let's see each question. Question 1 and verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people. Explain the priest's duties in the Old Testament time compared to the priest in the New Testament time. Old Testament times, the priest's duty is to give sacrifices to God, but only allow to Aaron's sons among Levites. That is, Aaron is a high priest. He was a mediator between people and God. But New Testament time, high priest, only the Lord Jesus Christ himself, only one mediator. New Testament times a priest, all Christians, priests, so all Christians can come to God or enter to sanctuary, holy place, so anytime. But we should have a faith. Without faith, we cannot give a place in God. So we should believe God's presence, because wherever God is present, that place is a sanctuary. Where is God's presence? And you will believe God will answer whatever you ask God. So in that way, that is different. Question two, in verse 7, they shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. What does it mean? So here, meaning as a priest cannot marry prostitute or a defiled woman, you know, pagan woman or a divorced woman. So is a virgin woman from the Israelites that way. And how about interracial marriage in the Old Testament time? In the Old Testament time, it was prohibited because pagan spouse might bring a Jew to other god, pagan god. That's the reason. So Old Testament, God asked the work, the deed, always consistent with heart, consistent with heart. But sadly, human being cannot consist the heart. That's why Book of Isaiah, God said, don't bring sacrifice to me anymore, because inconsistent with their heart to love God. Why did God command them in the Old Testament time? Because God wants a heart, actually, beyond their works. So God always, their work should be consistent with the heart. How can you apply this to us in New Testament time? New Testament time is, all the time is, we should marry with born-again Christian, because the disciples said, how can get together darkness with the light? So is unequal yoke, kind thing. So that is we should do so, because the hope is different. The life goal is totally different, non-Christian and Christians. So. Question 3, in verse 10, he who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear garments, shall not uncover his head, nor tear his clothes. Why did they tear or rend the clothes? Because Israel people is the custom to rent clothes, meaning expression, grief, sorrow, contrite heart. And how can we apply it to our life in the New Testament time? So if we face a grief situation or a sorrow situation or a contrite heart situation, like that is we should tear our heart. We should repent, to the Lord, confess to the Lord, or fasting, in that way, we can and apply that in the New Testament time. Okay, let's just sing song all together. Eh?